Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night. Radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am here.
I am still recovering from whatever I had last week, so in advance, if I stop or just go silent, it's because I'm probably coughing or taking a drink of water because my throat is still killing me, but I'm going to persevere and pull through and do this show because it's a pretty big show tonight. I'm looking forward to talking about this one because we're continuing on our Monsters Day marathon. And again, Mother's Day is this week. And we got a special review from the Boneyard of a 1991 obscurity that not that many people talk about. So we're going to be reviewing that one. And as the Mother's Day film, of the, it's still a monster movie. And then the other one we'll get into. But before we do that, Ian, how have you been?
I've been all right.
Yeah. No, like I said, I've been fighting whatever this is that I had last week. Because last week I just had, like, you know, a patchy throat and, like, okay, it's not too bad. And now it's just gone fucking crazy where it's just I can't stop sneezing. My nose is running. I'm coughing. My throat out. It's just, it's nonstop, and it's like it has its good days, it has its bad days, so I have no idea. Hopefully it'll pass. You know, it's been a week now, so hopefully it'll I'll be better come next week, and I won't have this low voice, because whenever I get sick like this, I have that radio announcer voice, like, hello everyone, welcome to, you know, we're going to be playing smooth jazz later this evening, so I hope you're prepared and call in with your requests, you know, so on the toll line. But no, we're going to, I'm going to get through this, you know, hopefully it'll be better, because there's, again, we're doing our Monsters Day marathon for the whole month, and again, The next horror movie release is Maw, and that's at the very end of the month. You would think they would do it, like, earlier, but no, they're going to save that, and we won't be able to review Maw for a Monsters Day marathon for until June, so that's going to suck. But nonetheless, the big news, and luckily it happened today, and I was there, I was awake for it, was the It Chapter 2 trailer drop. It dropped at 12 o'clock this afternoon, and there's like 33,000 people waiting for it to premiere, and it was like growing and growing, and I think I've watched it like three or four times now, you know, get prepared for our thoughts on the trailer, and I dug it. It's definitely going to be more, you know, darker, because it's the grown-ups now of the Losers Club. And it's going to be more, you know, more adult, you know, more naked old grannies attacking people. So that first scene. It was like a pretty good scene. I like that first scene. It where it got you in there. It let it play out to get you into the mood, the feel, the tone of what chapter two is going to be like before going into everything else, where it's actually showing, you know, all the actors. You didn't get to see that many. You know, you get to see James McAvoy, like the voice of Bill Hader. You don't get to see them all too much, you know. It is a teaser, so we'll get another one, around August, I would assume. We'll get a second trailer around August in preparation for the, you know, because it's going to be that first week of September when it comes out. And, I dug it. Again, it didn't give too much away, but it did enough to wet your whistle. And again, that first opening scene, I think that's going to be one of the scenes in the theaters. It's going to really get people, like when she coming at Beverly stark naked and whatever deformed state she looks at, you know, she's in, that's going to be like the projector scene in the first chapter, where, you know, everyone, you know, I didn't think anything of it, but everyone else like was like freaked out about it. So I assume that's going to be, I'm sure it's again, more dark, more craziness in the best way possible, you know, in the way the best it can be for this, you know, and, I'm looking forward to it. You know, hopefully, again, the next trailer will show a little bit more of the other actors in it. And so, Ian, your thoughts on the trailer?
I actually forgot that you had linked it to me while I was watching. You did it while I was in the middle of watching the some of those movies. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you said it, I totally just remember to sit back and watch it. My fiance actually came home from work. She was talking to me about it while I was watching the movie, and I just got done with watching Mom. I've been dealing with wedding stuff all day, so I didn't have a chance to really, you know, sit down earlier today and watch it before I had to start watching those movies. It's been a very stressful week.
No, that's understandable.
Yeah, because
no, but
I was like,
so. But she watched it. Did she talk about it?
Yeah, she was telling me that she is, like, she loved it, and she's excited about it. And she was just telling me some about the trailer, and she was telling me about the old lady and that stuff. And I can't wait, honestly. I just put it on. I had YouTube up already, so I just went ahead and started watching the trailer as we're talking. And it
okay,
like
so we're
going to
have
really
a live
good.
live reaction on the show.
Yeah,
so
like...
Interesting.
Yeah.
So let's... So it's going to start off, you know, with Beverly going back to her childhood home. So if you want to do like a, you know, synopsis, you know, your thoughts as it's going along, go ahead. I won't interrupt you.
Oh, no. It's already over. But, oh, my God, it looks like it's going to be great. Like, honestly, it really does look like it's going to be good. I am hella excited about it. That's the only remake that I'm actually excited for. Unlike the other movie that's getting rebooted.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, honestly, like, I hope it does well like it did last time.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely going to be a movie that is going to probably be hard to see without it getting sold out, right, when we go to see it. Probably going to have to be like, go ahead, like, as soon as I wake up in the morning the day we go see it, I'm reserving my tickets that morning. Just so I can make sure we, you know, get a seat.
Yeah, who knows? It might be, you know, another one to break some records. You know, it might, you know, do, you know, of course it's going to be no fucking Endgame, but yeah, for a horror picture, it'll probably do pretty damn well. Like again, the first chapter did, and again, I'm interested to see what else, you know, what kind of crazy things happen, because again, there's some other things in the book, you know, that are pretty out there. So
yeah,
it'll be, you know, and plus, you know, see it, you know, more darker sort of tone. I mean, I just kind of want to see it being like a little bit mean-spirited, even though I don't know if it can do that, but yeah, I mean, hopefully it can. I mean, I don't want it to, it's going to be, you know, a fucking jump scare-a-thon like the, you know, the first one tried to be, but hopefully it's more atmospheric, because, you know, that's the one thing, you know, the one thing I like most is the atmosphere and stuff, and like the first one was pretty good with the atmosphere and tone, but with this one being a little bit more on the, you know, adult side of things, I would assume this is going to be more, you know, character. Like, it's basically a character-driven film with all the Losers Club. And then you just have an evil clown entity going around causing havoc and trying to kill people. So it's going to have it's going to have its Hollywood, you know, jump scare, creepy moments, you know, stuff like the old lady scene. But then you're going to have, you know, crazy Pennywise doing his best to kill you. So it'll be interesting, you know, seeing their fears come back. So I assume, I guess the, was it Ben, his father or something, is going to be coming back as a corpse, you know, like they did in the kid version, but like in the first half. So maybe they'll do something crazy where like it's like a, you know, zombie or something coming back. I don't know. But yeah, I think we've touched on it enough, so we need to save some time for our films. So again, it comes out first week of September. And there'll be another trailer. We'll discuss that. And so, yeah, it looks promising. Just with the, you know, the tone they set up with the first scene to let you get interested, and then they slowly introduce some things and put some new scenes in there, like Pennywise riding the upside down balloons, balloon triangle. That looks pretty cool. And so it looks like the whole town's desolate now. Like, he came back and, like, he's killed everyone almost or is doing something. I have no idea. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there movie-wise. So there's, like, a lot of things to see what's going to happen. Because it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a more – it'll probably still be, like, the same runtime. So it's going to be, like, a four-hour epic in a sense because it's going to be, like, 2 hours first chapter, 2 hours the second chapter, maybe a little bit 10 minutes over or so. So I'm interested in seeing how it all concludes and then seeing exactly what Pennywise turns into, if he still does the spider or not, or some kind of variation of the spider. Cause you know, we got a little bit of that when they were fighting him at the very end, when he had the, you know, the claws came out and the arms and everything. So to see the full transformation, is going to be interesting nonetheless, the finale. I mean, it's going to be up there, like when with the finale of Endgame when they fought Thanos, you know. So it's see, like, all right, it's time to see how this goes down, you know. So this is a horror version of Endgame. Like, all right, it's time to do this. But
that
would
actually be really awesome. So Hollywood, get on that. But yeah, no, go. But yeah, no. I'm excited about talking about those movies, though.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. So the first movie up for our Monsters Day marathon is The Silence. And Ian, I gotta say, as soon as this started playing, and like I knew a little bit beforehand what it was when it was like when it first released. Like, okay, so basically it's a Quiet Place ripoff, right? And like,
it's literally.
Yeah. No, it's more than that, Ian. It is more than that. But as soon as the director's name popped up, I'm like, oh my God, I hate myself. It's John Leonetti. And if you don't know who John Leonetti is, he did Annabelle. He did Wish Upon, two films that are horrible in their own way. And, you know, we discussed Annabelle. And then Wish Upon is, like, so bad it's good, in a sense, because of how stupid it's more comedy than anything. And I will say this. This one's better than those two. But
it was.
It's that's still not saying much. So The Silence, the opening scene, these spelunkers, these cave people, miners, whatever, they break open this wall in the earth, and these winged creatures are set loose. And later in the film, we get to know that they're called, they call them Vests. For some fucking reason, that's the name they call them, Vests. And they're like, I don't know, for some reason I thought when I first looked at it, I mean, they're like tiny pterodactyls in a sense.
Yeah.
But they have like the weird shaped heads. And for some reason, I thought Bartok from, like, Anastasia. Like, why is that? Why? Like, all of a sudden, they're like, okay, that's the one thing that comes up when I watch the film, Bartok from Anastasia. Like, that's my childhood youth coming back to me, like, out of nowhere. So they get released, and then they start slowly causing destruction, and people have to, you know, leave the city. And we're introduced to a family with our main protagonist. Her name is Allie, and she's deaf. Sound familiar? But she's able to talk. She's able to talk, but she just, you know, she still communicates in sign language. The whole family does. So it's her dad. What's her dad's name? Yu. I didn't write down her mom or brother's name. I didn't really care. And then Yu has, like, a best friend, Glenn, that kind of hangs out with him for a while. And, you know, they see the destruction and all. They don't know what's going on, but Glenn's like the mastermind. Like, all right, we need to go somewhere safe, and we need to do this, and that's generally the gist of the movie. And here's the thing about this movie: everything that is bad that could happen, there's a convenience to the plan. There's like always something convenient that's useful to whenever something comes up when they're in a terrible situation. And it's like, oh, how convenient there, you know? So,
it's like a video game.
Yeah. As I said, it's not terrible, especially for, you know, John Leonetti. And I'm going to put him up there on that, you know, I have to talk down about him because come on, fucking Christ, his stuff's not good. But this one, you know, I guess he had a little bit of freedom, even though it's like this film rips off so many fucking movies. Like, they took like the scene after scene from other films. Like, again, we got A Quiet Place, which is technically the whole fucking point of this movie. You have the deaf girl, Allie. They have to stay quiet, but they're able to talk a little bit. It has to be above a whisper, right? And
yeah,
then that comes back to fucking shit on them. Like, what's the fucking point? Later on in the movie, it's just like they're able to talk above a whisper, but like, oh God, I don't even want to get into it. So it doesn't even make sense. Like, okay, you can talk above a whisper, but you can't. Like, there's all these cars honking on the highway and people yelling, and like it says on the news, be quiet, don't make any noise, and there's people honking, and like they're going all crazy on the freeway, and then like they're not swarmed, and then they go like the shortcut, you know, Glenn says, all right, let's go this way, let's get out of the way, and they're away from everything, they're in the middle of the woods, surrounded by trees, but yet the Vests come to them. How convenient, you know, like there's not million noises in the city and on the highway, yet they've come to this one, you know, these two cars in the middle of the forest. It's bewildering. It's just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So that's a plot point. Unless they can manage to kill everyone, just, you know, they're heading, I don't know where the fuck they're heading, but they're heading somewhere. So they do that, you know, they have that forest scene, which is redundant. And they also have a dog, too. So I forgot to mention, the family has a dog. And so, as I said, this movie's convenient for everything. So they manage to go to the woods after this whole big ordeal, to what happens in the woods. You know, they're getting attacked in the car, and they're trying to make them fly away and everything. And, like, yet, like, they just fly away. Like, they know they're there. But, like, know, because they're the creatures themselves, they're like the creatures in A Quiet Place where they can't see it, just based off sound. And it's, you know, like, it's like a pack of crows almost, or like scavenger birds. They're just all swarm down and start like attacking. But anyway, they get in the woods and like conveniently they find a house in the middle of the woods, and it's surrounded by fencing. Like, oh, that's convenient. And then they get there, and the owner of the house comes out, and she makes all this noise, and they start, and all the vests come and they attack her, so they don't have to worry about that plot point. So that's convenient. And then the dad, they find a pipe, conveniently, like they can't get in there because the gate has bells on it that makes noise. It's what caused the lady to come out with a shotgun, and there's this pipe to the side of the house. To get in there, like, oh, how convenient, a pipe. And then he's going
right
through there, and then the snake pops its head out. And then, and this is another thing, like, you can't, they talk above a whisper, right? They make, you know, you can't make any noise, right? But then when they go through there, the family and everything, and the snake is hissing, you know, is that really that loud of a hiss, you know? To cause them, I guess it's more, you know, I don't know. It's weird, like the honking, but like they can pinpoint a fucking snake hissing, right? And so the snake's about to attack the son, and then one of the vests comes and conveniently kills it, right? So like no trouble for the fucking, there's no fucking suspense there. And then like the dad finds the, like there's a conveniently placed wood chipper in this yard. And he turns it on, and like all the vests go to the wood chipper. Like, oh, that's convenient. And it's just like everything's like convenient.
That was so, like, honestly, I thought that was super smart. I was like, well, I mean, if it works, it works. Just carry around a, just drive that wood chipper around, and problem
mm-hmm.
solved. And like, I don't understand. I do not understand how these things were such a problem. I don't. Like, I get it, but if they can be super easily killed the way they were in the movie, you would think that the military would have just nipped it in the bud real fast. The
mm-hmm.
military and America, Americans have so many guns. So many. It'd be people just outside just popping them left and right. And they'd have just followed them back to their cave and just threw a grenade or something underneath it and boom, they're dead. It's like, come on. And that was my biggest problem with that movie, because I was just like, you know, especially the way it ends, you're just like, how are they a problem? It's just like
yeah.
a bird, a normal bird. They... it's stupid.
And then they introduce a cult later on at the very end of the movie. There's a cult. And
I
it
like
doesn't make any fucking.
Too.
Yeah, I mean, but it still didn't make any fucking sense. Like, is the world really all gone now? Like, wasn't it just that area that got attacked? And, like, they're still being attacked in that certain area. But, like, fuck it. Like, is every female fucking gone now? Like, aren't females always fertile? Like, what's the point? It's not been a fucking day. Maybe it's been like maybe 2 days, if that. Maybe just
yeah,
a day.
Yeah, it's been like maybe a week at most.
Yeah. Again, I don't know how long they stayed at the house, because they go to town, the nearest town, to find like medicine, because one of the mom got like cut bad, or she got attacked. And they go there and they, you know, conveniently find a back door that's open to the market, you know, to the pharmacy. like, it's open. How convenient. And then they have to fight birds and everything, you know, the birds, the vests and shit like that. And, you know, they introduce that call. They're like, is there still, you know, it didn't make any fucking sense. It's like, why is all of them gone? You know, it doesn't make any sense. But it's stupid. I mean, honestly, it's not good. But for a John Leonetti film, it's better than pretty much everything else he's directed. It's more coherent, you know. It actually follows, you know, even though it's been done to death. You know, I mean, there's the subway scene with the baby that reminded me of, like, the scene out of Mimic with them in the subway. There's just, like, all these scenes that are just, like, flooding my head. Like, okay, there's that scene. There's this scene. I've seen that before. So it's just like a grab bag of everything put into this film. Again, I guess it's not on him because he didn't write it, but I assume that's the writer.
Right.
But still, it's God. And the way this starts, too, you're like, where the thing is, like, I don't really need to know. That's the thing with, like, A Quiet Place, that where, like, I don't need to know how these things came about. You know, like, too much hurts it. And, like, that kind of does the same thing here, where we have to learn everything about these vests and what they do. And it's just like, you know, it just does not, I don't care about the family, how they get from one place to another. And I mean, it's definitely, you know, what they wanted to do with, like, A Quiet Place or a sequel to A Quiet Place. Like, all people need to know, like, this is your diagram for a reason. No, we don't need it. Because it just does not make the film that good, and it's unnecessary, and it's just like, it sucks. You know, in the best way possible. And it's, again, hopefully they can do it better, you know, than this. Because this is, again, this is John Leonetti we're talking about here. He doesn't know anything about fucking filmmaking. I hate to say that, but it's true. I mean, come on, he fucking did Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and that film's garbage. Even though, you know.
Oh, my God. When I was about to press play, I couldn't remember the name of the film, what it was, and I went on your message and looked, and I was just, you know, I was like, huh, I'm curious of what this movie's about, and I read the synopsis, and I literally, my fiance was sitting at my feet, and I just handed her the phone, and I said, read the synopsis and tell me if it reminds you of anything, and she just snorted. Laugh, and she's like, oh my God. I was like, maybe this is a prequel to that, and they're just debating on whether or not, let's see how well it does, whether or not they decide to claim this. Because, I mean, if those creatures are the first to come out, maybe the other creatures will follow. And there we go. That's why it's desolate, you know? Because the creatures that are actually hard to kill, but
yeah.
I don't know. I could kind of see them trying to tie that in there, but you know, it literally is just a cash grab because that's what people wanted. So,
well, this was directed Netflix, so I mean, luckily we didn't have to deal with it in theaters.
Yeah, Netflix original, so.
Oh, in quotations, how I put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's as original as My Last Shit.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you know, when it comes to those Netflix movies, it really is a hit or miss. Like, you get some good ones. Like, what was that movie that we watched? Yes, that movie, fantastic. But this
and the
just
ritual.
Watch A Quiet Place.
Yeah, best way to do it.
Just watch A Quiet Place. Literally, just. I mean, I honestly like the creatures. Like, I like the way they.
I mean, the creatures weren't too bad. I mean, they were interesting. I mean, that's kind of the one thing about it. I mean, it did look okay for the creatures. I mean, for what they did and like their head, you know what.
Yeah.
Same thing that they did with Alien, the creatures of the Quiet Place, like had their heads looked, but like they're little, like I said, they're like tiny pterodactyls with like rounder heads.
Yeah, and I love pterodactyls.
A little bit of a
so.
Yeah. But yeah.
I just hate how
I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to say? Yeah.
Just,
I do
just
think
complaining.
They weren't a problem. If done, you know, of course, if they did that, you wouldn't have a movie, but. They just, I guess, since there was, like, so many of them, because I don't exactly know.
There was, like,
know.
Millions.
Like, it shows them
well, there was
attacking.
Millions of them, but...
Yeah, it shows them attacking the city in the background there, and it's all in flames and everything. But then there's the boyfriend that Allie kind of has a thing for. Technically not a boyfriend, but technically boyfriend because she likes him. And they hold hands and stuff. And then, like, there's, like, the whole thing, like, you need to be quiet. And so, like, they're in the house, and, like, they're quiet, and, like, you're like, where's your parents? You know, because they're, like, the FaceTime and everything, like, the internet's going out, signals and stuff. Like, oh, they're dead. Like, how are they dead? You've been in a house the whole time. I mean, I assume they've been in the house unless they have to go out for food. But
maybe.
It says if they're quiet and, like, if they're away from the city or I don't know. It's just, like, a lot of things just, like, made this film, like, sort of, like it doesn't work. It doesn't add up.
Exactly. And I think if they would have added, like, a time regression to it. And that was my biggest problem is, like, how long are they been – I mean, like, they made it – like, I mean, obviously they walked for a long time, and it only seemed like it was 2 days. But who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, everything just happened so fast. And, like, it just – it really needed, like, 2 weeks later. And then I've been like, oh, okay. So in 2 weeks, all these people left or whatever. All right, I understand. But in 2 days, not everybody's going to like,
form a cult in 2 days and cut out your tongues, you know? Like, oh, it's the end of the world. We need fertile women. It does not make fucking sense in that short span of time.
Yeah, like, when they were talked, it was only attacking the coast. They didn't even, like, get to the rest of the United States. This is literally just, like, what, New York to...
I think it was California.
So it didn't even hit, like, the middle. So, I mean, there's tons of people. And, you know,
I mean,
there's probably
there's, like,
people just...
And there's, like, Montana and, like, Kansas is just, like, nothing but flat land. I mean, you're not going to make a lot of noise there, so people's going to live.
Yeah, and they're moving to the Arctic. How did that go?
Yeah.
How would they even, like, there must have been enough time in between for people to flee there and find their dead corpses. I mean, there was just so much continuity errors with that movie that could have just easily been fixed with, like, just time regressions. You know, like, oh, it's been 2 weeks, 2 years. I would have been okay with that. Like, oh, the military is concentrating in a certain area where so they can thin it out before it spreads throughout the rest of the world. You know, I get that. But, you know, hell, just do what they did to Louisville, Kentucky and nuke every place, everything. They're problem solved.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, but going on from that, because if we don't, we're going to be talking about that one all day, and we could. We could. There's so much to fucking dissect in that one. But we're going to go to our next one, and this is in preparation for Mother's Day this week, and luckily there's a film from 1991 entitled Mom that is a little obscure little film, and I remember finding this at $2 at a video store in the cell bin, and I was like, what is this? And then I picked it up, and it had a cool creature on the back and on the side and the spine, and I watched it, and, like, around this time, there's, like, all kinds of, you know, different, like, straight to video. Well, I'm pretty sure this is straight to video, but, like, crazy movies. There's, like, this one, and then, like, there's a Granny that's almost really a better movie than this one because it's more outlandish, and it's like the Evil Dead 2 almost of this one being, like, the Evil Dead. Mom is the tale of, let me get the names here, Clay, Alice, his wife, who's expecting, and Emily, who is the mom. And what we have here is Nestor, played by Brian James. And I love Brian James. He's always been one of my favorite, you know, character actors or just, like, actors, you know, like going back and collecting, you know, when I'm doing my VHS stuff, always, like, see him and stuff, like, all right, I'm going to get that because I like him. But he's this drifter, you know, like, laid-back drifter, like this dark, you know, sort of dark voice, sort of like me, in a sense, sounding right about now. I just need to put on some shades and a coat, and I'll be right up there with him. But he is I guess the best way to put it, he's a vampire. And he basically, to condense it because of time, there's a room. Emily has a room for rent in the old house that she lives in. Alice and Clay are expecting, and he wants to – Emily fixes dinner. Of course, Mom fixes dinner. He wants to go out because he always eats out, and then things turn awry, and he turns her. And so now it's, they go out and search for people on the street to, eat to replenish their health. And what this film is more of a character piece and a very sort of down sort of film where it's Clay going through sort of like a depressive state of affairs where it's like he knows his mom is killing these people. And he knows what she does, and he has to figure out what to do, and like if he should help her, and feed her and stuff. Like he brings a prostitute in later on in the movie, and like a lot of stuff happens where like she turns, and then again the creature effects, the monster, the face when she Nestor and her turn. I mean, it's awesome. It's great. I mean, if you look at the cover. Not the cover, but like the back of it, and you can see the picture of it, of Brian when Nestor turns. It's awesome. And, like it's gray, just monster, sort of, giant teeth attacking you. And that's good. And then it slowly just turns, it does go slow. It's a very slow moving film because that's the way that they were going for it. They weren't going for like the extreme campy horror like Granny or something like that. From like 1990, I think Granny was 94 when that one came out. So a few years later, but this one, it's just like, it's a more subdued, there's a little bit of like police drama in there where they're trying to find the killer. And it's just like, again, this crazy, random, old lady, old mom, old Granny, going around, biting, chewing legs and arms off, and you don't get a lot of gore, but there is some gore to it. It's it's mainly after stuff, and like again, you don't get to see too much of the monster makeup, when mom transforms, and then that's pretty much it. You see her like with teeth and like discolored eyes, but it's mainly just a character piece in a sense of Clay trying to hide, because there's, he's getting involved because he's chasing his mother down and like all this stuff going on with trying to hide it and hide some of the bodies and do the best that he can, but not like give his mother away and like tying her up, but she's trying to escape and she's like feeding behind his back. And it's an interesting movie. I mean, again, I liked it because it's, again, I kind of, it's one of the earlier films, in my collecting days, and I watched it with my grandmother. So it has a little bit of a, a more nostalgia feeling in a sense.
Right.
And so I kind of dig it and the slow moving nature of it. It can get a little dull because, it's just nothing happens for a while. And it's just in and out of the house chasing mom down and all that stuff, and then Alice thinks that Clay's cheating on him, and because he brings the prostitute home, and like there's all that stuff going, what was it, Beverly? But yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's not the greatest film out there, but it is decent if you want like an obscure film. I mean, it is available on YouTube. That's how I gave it to Ian. So you can just type in Mom 1991, you can watch it. Ian, what's your thoughts on this one?
Well, I mean, I liked it. I have to take my modern glasses off every once in a while when I'm watching these old movies when I see the monster. But I liked it a lot. And it really did have a nice little, story and
there was a lot of, you know, it was more, it really was more character than, you know, the monster aspect to it. And I kind of like that. I like when, you know, you see people, you know, like the effects that stuff like this has on you. And, you know, everything that happens toward the end. And,
yeah,
I mean,
the morality
me,
of it.
Yeah, and it makes me think of, like, what I would do in that situation. And I would like to be able to say I would, you know, do what was right and put my mom out of her misery. But at the same time, I'm like, could I actually do that? And I kind of like that. I kind of like movies that, like, make me think of, like, well, how would I react in that situation? And honestly, it really wasn't, it wasn't a bad movie at all. I might actually, like, you know, rewatch it again one day. And,
yeah, I gotta see if I can find you a copy, a link to Granny, because I think you'll have fun with that one. That's one of my favorites, Granny. That one's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, if you have seen Rabid Grannies, it's like right beside Rabid Grannies and like craziness. it's fun. But go on, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just bring up Granny. I think I wanted to review that one day on the show.
Yeah, we only got 4 minutes left, so I'll make it quick.
Yeah.
You know, but like I was saying, you know, it's just, it really did have a nice story. I honestly would have dated it, like, a lot earlier than the 90s. But I think it did fairly well. Like, I mean, there was, there was some pacing issues, but not a not enough to just make me, like, come on. And, I mean, it's only an hour and a half, right? That's about what runtime is. Yeah. And
yeah.
I think, like, you know, I think they accomplished everything they set out to do with this movie. And they did it fairly well. So, I honestly, like I said, I would definitely go back and rewatch this. I mean, I'll giggle every time I hear the cheesy sound effects with the voices and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it adds a little charm to it.
Yeah, like I said, it's just one of those, you know, obscure, hidden, I really wouldn't say hidden gem, but it is a hidden, I don't know, I can't really say it's a gem, but it's hidden, you know, it's just, it's obscure. I mean, if this one was to get a release, I mean, that'd be awesome. I mean, because it's something like Star Time or like half these films that's coming out, you know, like it's already out like on Blu-ray and stuff, that you wouldn't have ever thought would like get like The Suckling, and again, Star Time, and just all these weird films is like coming out, like Demon Wind is on Blu-ray. But yeah, like something like this and like Supernaturals is not out on anything yet. So it'd be interesting to see this like reach a new audience. Because I think it's kind of deserved. I mean, especially if you, like, again, want monster movies and everything. But, again, it is on YouTube for free for who knows how long. Because, you know, rights and everything, everything happens for a reason. It'll be there, and it'll be gone tomorrow. But it's worth a watch. So if you haven't seen it, you haven't checked out Mom, I do suggest it if you want something, you know, something older and a little bit obscure. And, you know, then pair it up with the Granny. And then watch Rabbit Grannies. And then, you know, just have like a crazy grandma time, you know. Like nothing but like killer moms. So that's a fun triple feature there. but yeah, I guess that's going to do it. I mean, there's really nothing else to say. So next week, more films for our Monsters Day marathon. So Ian, I'll see you next time, and thanks everyone for listening.